Good morning and welcome back to a fishing solo episode of Casting Nets Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Will Harley. Today I am fishing solo. My good friend Joel had other things that needed to be attended to for ministry. And so you get me this morning, which is a wonderful opportunity for us as we continue our look at Philippians. We are finishing up our look at Philippians chapter 2 for this morning. And so we pick up where we had left off. We had finished with verse 11. We are talking about how Jesus humbled himself. So we had an opportunity last week to finish up this look at the exaltation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after his humiliation, being born of a woman, being the nature God and yet man for us to die upon the cross for us. And now we move from there and we move on to the encouragement that Paul gives to us as believers to live now in this grace, to live now in this life that God has so wonderfully given through his son Jesus to us. And so as we pick up in verse 12, and we're going to be making our way through verse 30, we have a good opportunity to see this work of our Lord and Savior, his sacrifice for us, is the faith now given to us in him at work in our everyday life. So let's jump on in. Verse 12, we're going to read verse 12 through 18, and then we'll discuss it. So then, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only when I was with you, but also now much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In fact, it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without blemish among a crooked and perverted generation. You shine among them like lights in the world, as you hold on to the word of life. Then I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I continue to be glad and rejoice with you all. In the same way, also be glad and rejoice with me. We want to come back just a little bit. You see, here in verse 12, Paul recognizes that many people in life, many good Christians in life, when a pastor is gone, when a spiritual authority is gone, they will find their tendency to become very spiritually lax. They will find every excuse to move themselves away from that spiritual hub and comfort of God's word and in his sacraments. And what he has here to the Philippians is he has a praise for them that they did not do what is typically done. From every report that Paul receives, the people of Philippi, they didn't abandon the faith just because Paul was no longer with them, but they instead embraced the faith. They embraced the wonderful good news that the Lord and Savior had given to them. As he moves from there, he then encourages them in something that maybe sounds weird to our ears, especially to Lutheran ears. But he says, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You may be thinking right now, Pastor, I thought we couldn't do anything for our own salvation. And that's true. This is not what Paul is saying, as if we are going to work towards our salvation or that we are working out somehow pleasing God so that we gain salvation. What he is referring to here is those who are already called into the Lord, those who already have been given faith by the Holy Spirit, those people who have been converted from death to life, right? They have gone and been washed clean in the blood of Christ. Those people now are free to engage in the struggle of the sinful nature and the new man. They're free to engage in this battle where they do have a hand in a limited way as to what will happen to them and where they can go and what they can do. So in other words, a person who is baptized in the Lord, who has been brought to Christ and is now in faith in him by the Holy Spirit, they have an opportunity to continue to gather around the word and sacrament to be strengthened in this battle, or they could fall away. They could find excuses not to gather and then become weaker and weaker and weaker. It's one of these wonderful turns of phrases that Paul puts in there that gives us an insight into the abilities of the new man. Not that we are able to work out our salvation or claim it for ourselves. It is given to us. But once it is given to us, we now are freed to engage in this battle. We're freed to engage in this struggle as we gather around the word and sacrament. He gives us a little bit more clarification into his words in case we jump to the false conclusion, right, that salvation is something that we can earn. He comes in verse 13 and he says, in fact, in case you've forgotten, in case you were wondering, it is God who is working in you both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure. And in case you were wondering, in case you were worried, or in case you felt that it was just you that was now engaged in this work, he comes back around and he says, no, it is the triune God who is working in you. Everything that is good, everything that you would desire to do, everything that you would then do, is all a gift of God. He'll mention this again in Ephesians, or has mentioned it, I should say, in Ephesians chapter 2, and especially verse 10, where he talks about in 8 and 9 of that verse of Ephesians, he talks about grace and how it is by grace alone, that works in faith alone, that not of our works, it's a free gift of God, and that this is how we gain our salvation. And then he goes from there and he highlights how we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has placed in advance for us to do. Those good works, those good things, the desire to do them, the ability to do them are all things that God works in us. So saving and working out our own salvation in fear and trembling in a world that we know is trying to tear us down, that is trying to prove us wrong, still allows us to engage in this, even though it is God working for my good, even though it is God working within me for his good pleasure to see his will be done in my life. I still get this opportunity to wrestle and to engage and to be a part of that. And that is just a wonderful thing. In verse 14, he continued, like I said, do everything without complaint and arguing so that you may be blameless, pure children of God without blemish among a crooked and perverted generation. I like that saying. I'd used it before for those who have known me and have been to some of my Bible studies and whatnot, but we used to have an apple tree in the parsonage back in winter. Two of them, actually, in the backyard, and I planted more on the sides, but different topic altogether. But I would sit outside, and I would love to see in the spring how the apple trees would all of a sudden blossom, and then they would, you know, the bees would come by, pollinate, and do their things, and then they would start to bear fruit. And one day I just stood out there, and it seems silly, but I stood out there and I listened very intently to see if the apple trees complained about bearing fruit. If they complained, oh, I got to do this again. Oh, man, every year this is all I get to do. And never once did I hear those apple trees bear any complaint. Never once did I hear them complain about bearing the fruit that the Lord had given them to bear. Never once did I hear them complain about how heavy that burden might have been. And this is sort of what Paul is saying too, that don't complain, don't argue about the opportunities that God has provided for you in your life. But those opportunities present you as a child of God who is blameless, who is pure, who is without blemish, not because of what you've done, but because of Christ who has done it all for you. But that living in this way without complaint, that living in this way without arguing, that living in this place, embracing this call that God has given you to be his child in a world that is so different from you, is living your light and letting it shine. You see, we live in a very crooked and perverted world. Those two words are interesting. The one idea of crooked is that of a board, right? A board that has been warped. That when you pick it up and you try to look down it to see if it is something that can be used, is so bent out of shape that it's impossible to even be to even be used in anything. And then you have this perverted, this idea of perverted society, an idea of something that's been made in clay, and it's been so warped and contorted that no longer can it be used for its purpose as if it was supposed to be. And so we have these two different ideas of this current generation with its sinful nature. And it's every generation. Every generation is contorted. It is crooked. It is perverted. And we as Christians are called to stand as a light, called to stand as allowing this light to shine among this crooked world, that we are different, not because of what we have done, not because we have worked hard or that we've pulled ourselves up from our bootstraps, but because Christ has worked in us. Our triune God has saved us. And we are now set free. And we have been given life back, knowing that we are free to live. We're free to struggle, and we're free to grow, and we gather around these things called the means of grace, God's word and his sacraments, and we hear those life-giving message promise of our Savior for us. And that's what we're holding on to. We're holding on to this word of life. We're holding on to this word of hope. And when we do these things, the workers that God has sent out to help bring this message to us realize that their work is not in vain. As Paul looked at the people of Philippi and he sees that they are doing these things, he sees that they are growing in their faith, he sees that they are holding on to the word of the Lord, he is able to step back and say, my work was not in vain, right? God produced the desired result that he had longed for. And so he takes comfort in that, even knowing that maybe or maybe not, maybe he'll be able to come back to them. Maybe he won't, depending on how this trial might end up for him. And if he is poured out like a drink offering, if he is poured out, in other words, if he dies, he has still gained so much through knowing that his service was one that was well received. He then moves on in verse 19 through 30 here, and we'll read it very quickly as he highlights two very faithful workers who lived their life in the means of grace, who lived their life in this freedom and gave everything so that they could serve. So he begins in verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered when I receive news about you. To be sure, I have no one else like him who will genuinely concerned about your welfare. For the others all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven character, that as a child for his father, he served with me in the gospel. So he is the one I hope to send, just as soon as I see how things go with me. But I have confidence in the Lord, that I myself will be coming soon too. I also consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, fellow soldier, as well as the one who you sent to serve me in my need. I sent him because he was longing for all of you, was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. As a matter of fact, he was sick, nearly to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Now I am especially eager to send him, so that you may rejoice when you see him again, and I may be relieved. Therefore, receive him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life in order to fill in what was lacking in your service to me. And so here we have Paul highlighting these two workers, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And we have Timothy, which we've heard of before. He is going to be the pastor that Paul is going to be teaching and instructing. Couple of things just about him. It seems as if he is not only dedicated to the ministry, but he's dedicated to the service of other people, dedicated to bringing the message of good news and consolation of Jesus Christ. What we have here is his genuine concern for other people's welfare. He's not looking for opportunity to to lift himself up, not looking for opportunity to look for his own interests and for his own gain, but to continue the work of the Savior. We will probably visit and talk more about Timothy at a later date, so I don't want to talk too much about him now in this section. But what a godsend to have godly people working in the service of the Lord. The final one is Epaphroditus, and he is an individual who was sent by the people of Philippi, and he proved his character, even though in his travels, because Philippi to Rome is quite a distance, he must have gotten sick, and he must have labored a great deal in coming to try to help relieve Paul in his own house arrest. And yet, the Lord, he preserves his life to the joy of Paul. And now we have this man who knows that he would like to continue to serve Paul in this area and help bring him encouragement and run errands for him in Philippi. But he also is missing his home and realizing that there are people back there who knew he was sick and may be worried, and now he's homesick for them as well. And so Paul sends him back so that he has opportunity to let everyone know that he is well, that he has opportunity to let everyone know that things are fine and that the Lord has preserved him. And so he lifts up these two wonderful workers. And as I think about that, I think of all the other workers within the church, our teachers, our elders, our councilmen, our ladies, especially, who help with all sorts of the day-to-day things within the church. These people are those that we give thanks for because they help the leaders of the church. They help the pastors of the church do their jobs of sharing the gospel message as they are having opportunities to in their vocational callings, in their callings and limited responsibilities within the church, are serving their Lord with such gladness and such effort. And so we give thanks for them as they do those work. Now, as we have an opportunity later this week, we will be starting our chapter 3 of Philippians, and we will kind of work our way again in two parts through chapter 3. Again, this has been Fishing Solo, a part of Casting Nets Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and God sincerely continue to bless your day.